Amen. Today we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount, which I've sort of couched as a lecture, as a course on discipleship and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You'll recall 2 weeks ago that I presented the Beatitudes as the syllabus of our course. And last week we talked about what in lecture one? You didn't know there was going to be a quiz, did you? Remember? Salt and light. Salt and light. Very good. That was lecture number one. This is lecture number two. And we're talking about relationships. Relationships. And Jesus has something to say to us today from the Sermon on the Mount as we continue in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 32. Hear these words of Jesus to us. Jesus said, "You've heard it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember there that your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there on the altar, in front of the altar, and go and be reconciled to them first. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. It has been said, 'Anyone who divorces his wife must get a certificate of divorce.' But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We live in a throwaway society for the most part, don't we? Everything's disposable, it seems like. Throw away this, one time this, you know, take it out. We're recycling more now than we ever have, but we still could do a lot better in recycling as a people. We tend to throw things away rather than go and have them fixed, don't we? It's cheaper, usually, to just toss it and go buy new. I found that out when I went to have a pair of shoes resold. Unfortunately, when I went to pick up the shoes, the bill was higher than the shoes cost to start with. So I sort of defeated my own purpose in saying that, but I was trying not to throw them out and try to reuse them, but I didn't realize how it had been a while since I'd had a pair of shoes repaired. So, but the intent here is to always fix rather than to throw away. And as I thought about our throwaway society and how we toss things out so easily, I thought about why not consider throwing away some bad habits, attitudes, and behaviors of our own. You see, we tend to, although we try to change our bad habits and attitudes and behaviors, we a lot of times come back to those things. We sort of slide back into that comfort zone, things that we're familiar with, and get back into those old habits again, don't we? By the way, how are those New Year's resolutions working out for you? See what I mean? We start out the beginning of the year wanting to lose weight or wanting to change this or change that in our lives, and we somehow just sort of slide back into those old eating patterns and behaviors. Today, we hear some of Jesus' hardest teachings. They're the hard sayings of Jesus. For you see, Jesus was trying to show the people of God, the disciples, the followers, his followers, that he was not abolishing the law by any means. But what he was the fulfillment of those laws. And he was trying to interpret those laws in the context of his world. He dealt with very, very important issues of his day. And in many respects, these issues are still with us that we're going to talk about today. Jesus was trying to explain what it means for our righteousness to exceed that of the religious professionals, the Pharisees and the scribes. He said, let your righteousness be greater than the scribes and Pharisees. And he was trying to show them what that meant. He was trying to show us that we need to know things about our relationships that sabotage those relationships with one another and in some respects with God. And Jesus uses some powerful metaphors here and some hyperbole or exaggerations. One saying that I am familiar with and I have to keep reminding myself is that if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Think about that. If you find yourself in a hole, quit digging the hole. In other words, change what you're doing. If the horse is dead, dismount. But we still keep doing the same things over and over and over again, it seems, which destroys our relationships. Three things Jesus talks about today in our scriptures I want to talk about, and they're things that I know that all of us can relate to. The first one deals with something related to our interpersonal relationships, and that's anger. Anger. Jesus said, you've heard it said that long ago that you shall not murder. But I tell you, I say that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anger. Jesus takes murder to include anger. For when you stop and think about what we do when we get angry, it's like murder. When we curse someone in anger, when we insult someone in anger, when we use degrading words, aren't we in a sense murdering their character, murdering their state of mind? Not physically murdering them, but emotionally and psychologically murdering them. I don't get angry very often. I try not to get angry at all. I get frustrated sometimes. I get disappointed. I guess the last time I got angry, I told somebody to do something, and I came back, and it was not done anything like I instructed the person to do it. And we had a big event to get ready for this, and so I had to end up going back and fixing it, grabbing some other people last minute to get it fixed. I was angry. But then I realize that I've got to have patience also. And maybe I didn't make my instructions clear enough to that person. Who knows? Jesus uses a curse word today. Did you know that? The word raca, R-A-C-A. Raca is an Aramaic curse word, which means idiot or worthless, good for nothing, fool. He says, when you say those things like fool and raca, you are murdering that person in a sense. And you are subject, could be subject, to punishment. We tend to compartmentalize our lives, don't we? We compartmentalize, well, this is the spiritual side of life, and this is the civil side of life, and we're not supposed to mix the two. But Jesus does in this passage. He uses the example, the illustration, of coming to church, coming to the altar with hatred in your heart. With something against your neighbor, or something. He says, if you have a disagreement, if you're at odds with somebody in your life and you come to church, don't bring your gift to the altar. Leave it in front of the altar. Go to your adversary, go to your brother and sister who you have something against, and be reconciled first before you bring your gift to God. In other words, Jesus is saying, when we come to church, when we come to worship, when we come to the communion, to celebrate communion, and we've got this anger and we've got this hatred for someone in our hearts, Jesus said, don't come. Go and be reconciled with your adversary first. If they have something against you, if you've done something to them, and it's eaten you inside, and you know that there needs to be restoration and healing, go and be reconciled to that person first. Now, that's going to take time in a lot of cases. It's not going to happen overnight. Be reconciled first before you bring your gift to God. In the same way, if you've got a civil case where somebody is suing you or you're suing someone else, Jesus is saying, beware. Go and settle that thing out of court if you can. Because who knows, you may end up in prison yourself. Be reconciled. Jesus is saying anger is the same as murder in many respects. The goal here is transformation through reconciliation. Transformation through reconciliation. Making amends. Jesus, in the Beatitudes, in our syllabus, if you will, remember, said what? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let us seek peace first. And then Jesus talks about something related to marriage and our sexual life and adultery. He says, you have heard that it was said, and again he's quoting the Old Testament, he's quoting the law, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. As I thought about that, I thought about Jimmy Carter. Remember Jimmy Carter and his confession in, I think it was an interview in a magazine, Life magazine, I believe. Maybe it was Playboy. I think it was Playboy. Anyway. Remember what he said? He says, I have lusted. I have lusted in my heart. He says, I know that it's wrong and I know that God has forgiven me. But at least he was man enough to admit that he had lusted in his heart. Why is that such a big deal? Jesus is saying, if you lust after a woman, and I suppose it works the other way too, women, if you lust after a man, it works the same way. Jesus is saying that is the seed that is planted in our mind. Remember, sexual behavior begins in the mind, and that desire can turn into sin, and that sin can lead to death. James chapter 1 reminds us. And Jesus is saying the same thing. If you're lusting after someone, you've already committed adultery in your hearts. And then he uses hyperbole. He's saying, if your eye, which you use to look at that person and commit adultery with, he says, gouge it out. Did he really mean for us to take a knife and cut our eye out? No, of course not. But he made his point, didn't he? It's better to go through life with one eye than to go to hell, to burn in hell. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, he said what? Cut it off. It's better to go through life with one hand than it is to perish in the fires of hell. Strong words. Strong words. Hyperbole, yes. But Jesus was trying to make a point. And then he talks about divorce. Divorce.